Today's guest is Kelly Howard, and we had such a fun conversation that led us, I did not even know where we would land, but we ended up getting some great tips about your feet. So if you can imagine that. But Kelly is very knowledgeable in just kind of the little things that as we age can really help us. And so talking to her was enlightening, to say the least, and what she does and how she came to do what she's doing now and how she was led there, what I like to call a universal, the universe sends us these Mack truck moments, and she definitely had one. And so that kind of led to the birth of her business that she has now, which is her kind of byline is fit is freedom. And so she talks about what that means, but it's really true that you can't really be free, and longevity matters. And if you're not fit, then that will not happen. We don't want to be tied down to a body that can't serve us. And so it's important to make that a priority in our lives. And she is really good at helping people do that. So with no further ado, let's talk and get to the interview with Kelly.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. I have with me today Kelly Howard, and she is in the age range of that I think will bring a lot of inspiration. And she's talking about how to live healthier and talking about fitness stuff. So are you okay if I say your age?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Some people I should ask you before I hit record. She's 61, so she's a little bit younger than me, but yes, she looks amazing. If you're on my YouTube channel, you check it out because she's got a candle. And so when we got on, I was like immediately at peace because I was like, oh, I just feel like I'm in this peaceful environment looking at her background. But anyways, welcome to the program, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you, Laurie. I appreciate it.
Yes. Hear her voice, how calm it is. I'm like screechy.
And you're okay, like, wait. Oh, yes, okay. I've like completely got you like buffaloed here because I am normally the one like screeching with laughter. So,
well, we would get along. So, yeah. So why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners, and you know, you know more about you than I do. So go ahead and
sure.
Share what you want to share about what you do and
absolutely.
Who you help.
Absolutely. So my name's Kelly Howard. I am known as the fitness consistency coach with a touch of adventure. And the reason that is because I do believe that the women I work with women exclusively. Most of them are 50 plus. A lot of us are 60 plus. And I've found over the years that when you get to do some things outdoors that you never thought you could do, but you know, you always had this little thought in your back of your head, like that might be cool, but I, you know, hold people back or I couldn't keep up or whatever. And when you get to that point where you're actually really consistent with your fitness, you can do things that you didn't think you could do. And I think that's so powerful, like so powerful. So that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. I love the fitness consistency thing because, you know, that says it all right there, right?
You know, it does. I actually had dinner of one of my clients was coming through Houston last night where I live. So we went out and went for a little walk in the woods and then had dinner. And we were talking about the fact that what she said to me was she was like, you know what? Before I met you, I never wanted to get quote unquote fit because it was like going to the gym, which I hate, and I had to do cardio, which, you know, I didn't want to do. And now I've suddenly learned that it's more about like being consistent with what I like to do and then bringing in the other things that, you know, I'm always like, God, you really ought to lift a couple weights. But, you know, bringing in those other things. But when you get really consistent with what you want to do and like to do, it's a game changer. Like most of us don't really want to go to the gym 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Right?
It's, yeah. It's such a,
shoulds are a big, we had a big talk about shoulds the other day.
I did an episode on shoulds.
Yeah, I missed that one. Sorry.
Yeah. So I think, what you do is so powerful because I've learned so much about how the human person needs to be in nature, that there's like our frequency changes when we're with nature.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you talk about that with people?
So I talk about, like, I always lead in with the fact that in Europe, they actually write scripts to get out in nature. Like, that's a prescription.
And doctors do that?
Doctors do that.
Oh, that's so amazing. Our doctors, you know, Western medicine does not, that would
not
be something
different,
they
right?
would. Yeah.
Yeah. And like when I first heard that, I laughed. Like I was like, that's hysterically funny. And then I started thinking about it and I went, but it makes us well. It does make us well. Like if we're, even when, you know, you don't need to go backpacking for a week or a month or tackle the Appalachian Trail to get out into nature just enough to really like change your frequency, change your mindset, like stop, relax, breathe. Like nature, and when I say nature, it's just being outside, right? I mean, probably for me, being outside in the city of Houston isn't the same, but being outside in my yard is. It just makes everything like settle. And when we can settle, then it's so much easier to become really good at whatever it is that we want to do. Really like invested in it. Because, you know, it's, I don't want to say stop, drop, and roll, but we're like, we stop, we drop into the space, and then we're there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would walk with my dog a lot I know I do it for him, but I find that just those walks, 20 or 30 minutes, does a lot for me.
It does.
And I have a porch and I like to sit out in the winter, you know, it's not an option, but and sometimes in the summer it gets super, super hot. So I just recently bought like this vertical fan. Mm-hmm. So I can sit out there more often because it stirs up the air, but then I feel like I'm outside, but I'm really inside, but I'm outside, but I'm getting that feeling of being outside. So I love that. What are some activities that, like, a lot of people might be like, you know, we think of walking, we think of hiking. So what are some activities? It's funny that we should be talking about this because I was just talking, I think it was earlier today or late yesterday, with somebody about paddle boarding. And
Perfect.
because we're talking about that, how that's getting outside and it's good exercise, and how Costco has these amazing, like, I think they're even, I don't know if they're inflatable. They're inflatable kayaks they're selling, but they're doing a lot of they're doing a lot of outdoor equipment at Costco. And it got me thinking, because paddle boards, I've seen yoga on paddle boards, but I've never tried it. And I think that would be so much fun. So what kinds of things, like what can you think of that would make people excited to try something new?
Well, you've talked about the two, what I call the gateway drugs. So hiking is the thing that, it's so easy, right? It's really just a walk in the woods. And like, sometimes people will be a little bit uncomfortable because they might get lost or something like that. So apps on your phone, short out and backs. I mean, there's just so many things you can do to just step out of your comfort zone slightly and head out in the woods. And when I say the woods, like,
the,
you know, the woods,
it sounds, thing, a compass,
right? Sounds so crazy. Like, I live in Houston. We have about 3 trails. Those are my woods. But then the other one is stand-up paddleboarding. It is really, anyone can do it, because like This is the because. The because is that if you buy an inflatable board, okay, which they're inexpensive, they're easy to move, they, you know, they're easy to store, they're all the easy things, right? They might be a little tippier than a hard board. So you start off on your back end, just sitting on the board, paddling a little bit. Maybe you go to your knees. Eventually you get to the point where you're on your, you know, you're standing up, you're on your feet, you feel great, you know, you're rocking the board. But
isn't that good for your core too, to like have to balance a little bit? Doesn't that make you?
So yeah, the stand-up paddle board, people think of it as kind of like an arm workout, right? It's really not. It's like you said, it's core, because you've got that balance. And because if you're, okay, here I can't help it, I'm going to go into like a training mode. But if you're moving properly on the board, you're actually using your core even when you stroke. So it also is upper body and it's lower body. But so it's really an all over movement that is so good for us. And if you happen to be somewhere where, when we're recording this, it's summer and summer is treacherously hot in a lot of places right now, you're on the water. So it's definitely cooler.
Yeah. You make me want to do it now.
It's, you know, it's fun. And I will say this, like a lot of times I'll be like, most inflatable, like inflatable kayaks are usually not the greatest. Inflatable SUPs are awesome. Like they're awesome. They're inexpensive.
So they have inflatable paddle boards. That's what I was going to say. But I was like, no, those are kayaks, but they have.
No, it's paddle boards. I actually own an inflatable paddle board.
Wow. That's so cool. My massage therapist has an inflatable kayak and it's got a foot pedal. And she said it's super easy to pump up because you think, oh my gosh, that's going to take forever. And I don't have the lung capacity, but it's not like that old fashioned kind of how you blow things up. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to blow it up with your mouth. That would be tough.
So do you teach paddleboarding? You said your training mode going to get into
it. I do. My last business was an outdoor activity company. So I taught people to do all the things that I like to do because I think it's so important. Now, like if I'm running a retreat for my ladies, I'll do teaching then, or, you know, today one of my people just bought a new kayak and she wants to do a race. So she was like, what do I do? I was like, here's a video. Watch it.
That's good.
I've done this enough. Kayaking is a great one.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, you were asking about some of the fun ones. Kayaking is a really good one. Because it's to me, kayaking is spiritual. Like you're out there, you're on the water, and it's easy to paddle. Anyone can paddle. Like we instinctively know how to go forward in a boat. So the only thing that happens with them is they can be a little bit heavier than a stand-up paddleboard, but easy to use. So what were you gonna ask?
Well, I was gonna switch gears, but yeah, that's helpful. It made me think when you're just talking about the kayaking and even the paddle boarding, it's something where it takes us away from the busyness of our world. And we can get with our own thoughts too. Even though you're actually like probably thinking about what you're doing, you can get into a place where it becomes where, you know, there's times when you're probably just floating and you're not actually doing something. But even the act of paddling on a paddle board, you know, it just gets you away and into the silence.
It is very meditative.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Which is so important. I mean, people should really, if they have trouble meditating and they need to exercise and they're beating themselves up about going to the gym, maybe this is something they should pursue, right?
I agree.
So where was I going to switch modes to is I'm always curious about the Kelly before. Like, was there a Kelly that wasn't fit before?
That's an interesting question.
You know, we're in our 60s. There was clearly a life before.
So I've been one of those people who's very blessed because I've always been kind of a small body type and fairly mobile, right? Like I raced sailboats when I was in my 20s. And then I picked up long distance skating when I was in my 30s. But I didn't do like all the stuff I do now until I was in my late 40s. And at that point, I bought a company that was an outdoor adventure company. And I always had to stay like one step ahead of everybody. But this might lead, if you don't mind, into that thing you asked me about, like what made me switch? Because what happened was I had this base of fitness, but not really fitness. I had this base of not being very heavy. So, you know, I'd always like skated or whatever. And then I got into this outdoor business and I was always trying to stay ahead of everybody, like, you know, so that I could teach them what to do. And I was learning all this stuff. Well, I wasn't taking care of my true foundational fitness, right? I was busy. I was building a company. I'm taking care of my mom, who's like this amazing woman, but she suddenly had a heart attack and fallen. And now I'm caring for her. And I'm actually being the general contractor on a new home that we bought and just like all the stuff, right? So my fitness was the furthest thing from my mind because I could always get by. I'd always been able to until like one day I woke up and I couldn't get out of bed. Like I was in so much pain that I literally crawled to the bathroom, peed, laid on the bathroom floor and thought, huh, maybe I'm dying, right? Like,
was there no sign of it? Was it, or was it a slow progression of feeling?
No, there was no sign. It was just like, wake up one morning and that was that. My body had had enough.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? That's what happens. Like that's the universe's version of a Mack truck. Stop what you're doing.
Yeah, it was. It was the big slap down. And it was also karmic too, because a friend of mine had had this happen like maybe a year before and I'd laughed at him. I'm so sorry. Like he was like, I bent down and then I couldn't do anything. And I was like, how can this happen to us? And so what happened was I realized that I wasn't unusual. Okay. The fact that I was now back in my bed and like Googling to see if maybe I had like, I don't know, kidney failure or something, because really, truthfully, I wanted to be anything other than what I knew it was. And I knew it was simply that I hadn't been taking care of my fitness. You know, I'd just been getting by. And all that stress, all that sitting on my back end and working, all of that stuff was catching up with me. And so what I realized was that it was happening to all my friends. Like all of us were overworked. We're sitting on our office chairs for hours a day. We're being like maybe weekend warriors, where we go out and do something really fun on the weekend and then we're back to, you know, not doing anything during the week because we've got so much stuff to take care of. And the prognosis wasn't good for any of us.
Yeah, I heard this quote yesterday, sitting is the new smoking.
It is.
I was like, wow, that's powerful.
It's the truth, because we're not made to sit, right? Like, we're just not made to sit on our back ends all day long.
Hunch over a computer.
And hunch over. Exactly. I mean, you can see it. Now I'm going to digress, but you can see it in people who walk around staring at their phones. Mm. Young people with that, like the dowagers. Is that how you say it, I think? Is the dowager hump happening already? It's like we're going down a bad path. And if you ever look at like where longevity is, it's in all those people who live in places where they move.
Yeah,
they don't go to the gym necessarily, but they move consistently.
Yeah, and my watch has a stand-up goal, like not even just a walking goal, but a stand-up goal. And I thought,
that's crazy,
that's,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And so, and when you don't stand up enough, like I get like alerted. So that's crazy.
Here's my trick for that. I drink a lot of water.
Oh, yes.
So I have to stand up a lot.
Yeah, but then you sit when you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, but you got that little space.
That's funny. Yeah. So you did this business. And so what happened to the business when you couldn't get up and go do it?
What happened was I was able to get past that little hump in about 5 days. Okay. Like I was over my lying in bed looking, you know, to see if I was dying in about 5 days.
But what did you do in those 5 days? I mean, like, did you go to the doctor? Did you?
No, no. I
did you have a fever or?
No. This was 100% Kelly doing all the things wrong. And now her back is just like scrunched down and said, forget it. We're done. So, and it happens.
So just kind of forced rest.
Yeah, it was forced rest. And it was also forced journaling. That was what I did more than anything, was I really just thought. And I thought long and hard. And I went, okay, I can't. So at that point, I was probably 50. So it's 10 years ago. well, really 11 years ago, going on 12. So back then I was like, okay, I can't foresee a life where I won't be able to do all the things I love to do for as long as I possibly want to. I mean, that to me is like the name of my company is Fit as Freedom, because I believe that freedom, everybody's got a different idea of freedom, but for most of us, it has to be able to take care of ourselves, do the things that we want to do for as long as we want to do them, right? And I laid there thinking that that's not what I was doing right now was not freedom. It was, I was living a life that was just shutting me down. So in that moment, this current business was born. But it took me a few years to get here because I had to sell my other business and, you know, do all that good stuff. But it really was. It was just 5 days of soul searching and going, okay, if this is what you've got to look forward to, you're in trouble. So how are you going to change it?
Yeah. That's interesting how a new business is birthed as a result of something like that.
It really is.
Connecting with your soul and like listening to your inner voice.
Yeah, it really, like, that was it. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, my passion is working with women. Like, my past business, I had guys and gals. I really did everything I could to make sure the women were getting everything they needed, as, you know, were flourishing however they wanted to flourish. And it's just a soul purpose for me.
That's how I am too.
Yeah.
If men friend me on Facebook or send me a message, block. It's terrible to say that, but I just no need for that.
Yeah. I mean, I like guys, but it's,
go find
it's
somebody
who's not my passion.
Your type. Yes. Yeah. 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 That's so cool. So amazing. Yeah. So what does consistency look like for you when it comes to fitness? Because consistency, is that like a daily activity? Is that just doing what works for you in terms of being consistent? Is it more than X amount of times? What does that mean?
Oh, that is a really good question. Because it's such a great question, because a lot of times when people come to me, they expect to have like a set schedule. And I create a schedule for myself every week. Okay. Sunday night, schedule time. And I schedule out, and this is like one of the things I do with people, is I'm like, look at your week coming up. Where are the roadblocks? What's going to stop you from doing the things you want to do? And then get your minimum daily movement in there. Because I think we all need to have a minimum daily movement, which could be like usually some walking and something we call nitros in my group, which is kind of a really quick, easy movement that is good for your muscles, good for your, you know, clearing out your body. So that minimum
daily
movement.
More than just walking from one room to the next in your house.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yes. To me, walking is actually either getting on a treadmill, if that's your thing, or getting out the door, which is what I usually suggest people do. Everyone's schedule is different though, you know, like, and everyone is different. Just to kind of go back before I go through my schedule, but just to go back to that whole minimum thing. Like, I have a client who, she doesn't like to get up in the morning. She just doesn't. Like, I'm like, you're my age. Aren't you supposed to be getting up early now? She's like, nope, I'm sleeping to the last possible second. So at 5 o'clock, she'll text me. She's like, okay, I'm getting ready to do my stuff. I'm like, great, go for it. And then she texts me about 5:20, 5:30. And she'll say, okay, I did 6 minutes of this and 5 minutes of that and, you know, this and this, and I'm done. Great. Like, it may not be a lot for her. Well, it may not be a lot, but it is a lot for her, because 6 months ago, she didn't move at all. So now she's moving 5 to 6 days a week, with, you know, 20 to 30 minutes a day.
That's awesome.
If you read stuff, reading stuff says, you know, you should be able to walk, I don't know, it's not much. It's like 90 minutes a week and then something else. Like, that's really minimum to me. Mm-hmm. For myself, like, consistency to me is always doing some mobility work in the morning. And mobility work is more, it's more than stretching, because stretching doesn't always work for people. It's warming up your joints. I walk most days because it's a compulsive habit.
And when you say walk, do you like walk fast? Or what I did, I used to run, and I have a knee that was surgically repaired when I was a teenager. So it's pretty good. I go to a chiropractor, so I usually doesn't flare up, but sometimes I would walk if I'm like, feel like my knees needs a break. But I would do like, I would find music that would go a certain number of beats per minute, so I could keep the pace at which, right, which was usually like 4 miles per hour. Whereas like when I would run, it would be like 6.5 or something. So I found like having, you know, instead of just strolling, I mean, does it matter really whether you stroll or whether you
it does
walk
it matters a lot. Okay. It matters a lot. Yeah. I call it perceived effort, because, you know, like you liking music, I have a lot of people who like music. I don't usually listen to music when I'm out there. But what I suggest to people is that between 1 and 5, you know what your perceived effort is. And that perceived effort, which that stroll, like you and I could be having a conversation like this on that stroll, that's a 1 to 2. It's really not going to do anything other than maybe make you feel a little bit good because you're outside. Mm-hmm. A 3 is actually starting to get your heart rate up a little bit. That's where you can carry on a conversation, but you notice it. When you get to that 4 or 5, that's when conversations could be a little bit stifled, right? You're sweating. You'd be sweating at a 1 in Houston right now, but you know, you're feeling it. And I also like to have people, you know, go between that 3, 4, 5. Also, if possible, to do some hills.
Mm. Right? Yeah, we have a really steep hill, and it's like,
awesome.
Get to the top of it. It's very steep, but it's not too long, so that's good.
That's great, you know, and you can do like high intensity training when you're walking. You can do it on hills. I mean, like for us where I live, there are no hills, but there are like ramps that go down to the bayou behind my backyard, so I can go up and down ramps. It's just kind of getting used to it. I think always, of course, like I am not a doctor. I have no letters behind my name. You check with your doctor before you start something. But at the same time, once you know that you've got a good heart and you're ready to go, you should get out there and do some movement.
Yeah, on the treadmill you can raise.
You can raise it on a treadmill. Another good thing you can do is you can get a couple of plastic bottles of water. And while you're walking, you can do arm curls and kickbacks and military presses. Right? Yeah. Like use your arms. You're going to realize that increases the effort of what you're doing exponentially very quickly. And it's also building up, you know, some strength, because we do need that strength. Like, I won't say that you need to go to a gym, but I will say that you need to figure out some ways to get some strength, because that's the thing that our muscles start going downhill after about 40. They don't just naturally hold together. So it's what keeps us strong and vibrant is to be strong. So I am not a personal trainer, but I do like push a lot that people at least do some sort of body weight exercise, because it matters. It really does matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed too that my core, it takes more work the older I get. And when I don't have a strong core, my back hurts. You know, I start to use my back differently. Like when I lean over, if I don't have a strong core, then mm-hmm. I'm relying on back muscles. So having a weak core is not a good thing, because it can.
It's not. I mean, yeah, it everything kind of starts shifting. But you know, yeah, another thing is that when I first start working with everybody, I ask them to do an intake quiz. And one of the things they do is I ask them to stand on 1 foot for as long as they can, and then switch to the other one. A lot of times people will say, oh, my legs got tired. I'm like, really? And they're like, oh, I don't think that was a good thing to tell you.
Yeah. Right? That's a sign.
It's a sign. It's a sign we should be using them a little bit more.
Sounds like a sobriety test, but yeah.
It is a little bit. Don't do this at night.
Yeah. That's awesome. How long did they do have to stand on one leg? Maybe people can try it at home and see.
Oh, you know, well, actually, it's a really important thing to do, because balance is so important for us, right?
That's why balance. Yoga. I like yoga because, you know,
yoga is great for balance. And,
yeah, yeah.
All of that, like anything you can do for balance. But even like if you just, if the people who are listening, if y'all just think about it for 1 second, like have something where you can put your hand down. Like, be careful. But just stand on one foot. Don't even have to have that other foot in tree pose if you don't want. But just stand there. Have your hand somewhere where you can put it down if you need to. Look around a little bit. Because, you know, when you're doing yoga, you pick that spot. And that makes you more solid. So look around a little bit while you're doing that one-legged stand. Do it on the other foot. And then do it every day for a week. And then next week, fold up a towel. Put it on the floor. Do the same thing. Because what that's going to do is it's going to like take you off center just a little bit. So now you've got to work a little bit harder to get that mm-hmm. balance back. And you just keep doing it. And what you're going to find is that your balance does come back solid as a rock. And yeah. It's one of those things that we really need.
Yeah. Yeah. Now in terms of the towel, do you like put your entire foot on the towel or do you put like it under your heel or?
No, when you're using a towel for balance, I mean, I have like a piece of foam that I keep under my desk that I can use, but a towel is just a simple one that you just fold it a few places and then put your whole foot on it because it becomes a slightly unstable surface.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do these things barefoot if you can, it's good for your feet.
Yeah. I had, in my Beachbody coaching days, I had a client and she was from Hawaii. And I didn't know until like I'd been working with her for a while. And one day she said, I had to work out barefoot because I forgot my sneakers or something. And she was, I always work out barefoot. I was like, what? I never thought about working out barefoot, but it really does work your muscles and your feet, right?
It does. It's for years I used to wear a kind of sandal kayaking that was a very solid sandal. And then I thought that I needed that support, right? But I started noticing that my feet were looking a little funky, you know? The toe was going places it shouldn't. And one day I just decided to start paying attention to this. And I realized that by using those sandals 24/7, that what I was doing was making my feet weak. So I went through this entire, 2 years of strength training for my feet. Those toes are still going places they shouldn't, but at the same time, my feet are so much stronger now. And you have so many of your muscles and your tendons and your bones are in your feet.
And you think as we age, how that is so important to be stable. Gosh, it's really I never important. Thought about that. I was talking about my core, but your legs, thinking your about legs. A table, we're a two-legged table and our feet.
We are.
Are so important. And you're so right that what happens to feet is that it's almost like they atrophy. And so they're not like gripping the floor anymore. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's very interesting. I think that's a very powerful tip.
Oh, good.
Like
good.
Get your feet in. Like, so should people go barefoot more? I mean, the paddle boarding, you actually would be barefoot on.
I would suggest people to go barefoot paddle boarding. If at all possible, like sometimes people are in places where they might have, stuff in the water or, sticks
water
or something
shoes,
to step on, right?
Yeah.
Water shoes. And what you'll learn is if you're barefoot paddleboarding, you're actually standing up, you'll find very quickly how strong your feet are. Because first thing that happens is I'll call it monkey toes, but people kind of hold onto the board with their toes and their feet will get really tired very quickly. So paddleboarding is a good foot exercise. I mean, for myself, and everyone's different. Like some people can't do this because their feet hurt. But for myself, I wear toe socks with toe shoes, like toe Vibrams, just because I don't want to walk on the tile floor all the time. But that's my walk around shoes in the
house. Yeah, some people use those for running, right?
Like, yes.
I think my nephew had a pair of those and got into running big time because they emulate running barefoot. And
they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
They work
great. And there's some tribe that I think it's a tribe that they're known for like long distance running and
in
they
Mexico.
Run barefoot. Yeah. That's
they
crazy.
Do.
Yeah.
And I like Vibrams. I've run in them before. Mostly I run in Zero Drop.
What's so, that? Oh, is that a brand?
It's basically a flat shoe.
Okay.
So like when you get to that point where if you're out there and you really want to do a lot of trail work and you want to work on your feet, you eventually get to like a flat Zero Drop shoe. Mm. And it's just, it keeps your feet stronger. Mm. Right.
Yeah. Maybe we can link up to whatever that is in the show notes so people can check it out. Yeah. I have, and it's not so much anymore because I think I've helped it. I don't know if my feet are gotten stronger, but I was having problems with my arches, where I was getting, like, I was having pain, and my chiropractor said to get like an arch support because my shoes weren't supporting me. So in my tennis shoes, I would put these little arch supports in there and they're fine. But like, I'm wearing shoes right now that don't have arch support. I mean, I think they have built-in arch support, but it's funny. I haven't noticed it for, now that I think about it, like at least a year, I haven't had that problem. So maybe I've built up some muscles. I haven't intentionally been building up muscles, but is that something that like, if I'm having pain in like my arches, is that usually due to just not being, my feet not being strong enough?
Ooh, okay. Probably. Like I have very high arches. That's what got me into these sandals that I was talking about earlier. I used to wear Chacos. They allowed for that high arch. But what I found was that my foot didn't need to do anything. It was just kind of like on this high arch, hanging around. And so instead of getting insoles, what I did instead was I started doing like exercises for my feet, like putting a towel down underneath my desk, and I would just like crunch it up with my toes and push it back with my toes. And I also, like, if your feet are hurting, everyone listening is going to be like, what are they doing? Show and tell? But see this little ball?
Oh, yeah. It's like something my dog would love to chase.
Your dog would love this.
little nubby ball. I have one of those,
actually. Hide it from dogs, but it's called rugs.
I was like, what is this for?
you put it underneath your foot when your foot's hurting, and you just rub it. It's like a trigger ball for your feet. So you just rub your heels back and forth on it. You rub it across your arch. You rub it across the ball of your feet. And a lot of times, I took a client hiking one day. She wanted to go train, so she came into town. We went for a hike. In my head, we're going for a hike. In her head, we're going for a little hike. So I took her for like 3.5 hours because she needed to train. And she calls me and she said, "You broke me." And I went, "What?" She's like, "I can't walk. My feet hurt so bad." I'm like, well, that's interesting. Sorry. But then I thought about it and I thought, you know, she had the right shoes. She had everything she needed. So I told her to get a tennis ball, same as one of these, and to start rubbing that foot back and forth across the tennis ball and call me back in 2 hours. And her feet were fine in 2 hours because what she had done was just, we think we've bruised our feet, right? And that our feet are like not well. But the truth is that, you know, all those little muscles in there get sore. And so she just rubbed them out just like you would massage something out. And then she was fine.
That's
so
amazing. She thought you could try that. Magical. You just like a magical touch, magical tricks.
Believe me, I've had all the aches and pains over the years. So I've learned.
And if she's not like hurting during the walk, then it's probably just like soreness from the walk.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's amazing. So what, you know, you had this outdoor business and I guess it led you on this path to this fit is freedom. I love that. And so you sold that business and now you're largely doing coaching and serving the women that you serve. And
I sold that business and, I sold it for two reasons. One reason was that I needed to be location independent. So what I do now allows me to do that. And then the other reason was...
I was going to ask you, where was that? Was that in Houston or was it
somewhere
else?
Houston.
Oh,
it was in Houston. Like, you know, talk about a unicorn, an outdoor business in Houston. But we did an amazing job. Like, I had thousands of members and it was so much fun. But now all I do is I just work with women online. I mean, occasionally, you know, we'll see each other. Like I said, a client was in Houston last night. I saw her. Took that client hiking. We do retreats about 3 times a year. But otherwise, I do group coaching, a little one-on-one. And My job is to be a cheerleader, to give people hope, to help when they're hurting, because a lot of things hurt when we've been using our bodies for a long time. And I've learned lots of little tricks and tips. And then just to make sure that we're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of my drivers is fun and freedom. Like,
yeah. What's your retreat involve? Is it a lot of outdoor activities kind of retreat?
It kind of depends. I took a group to Costa Rica about 2 months ago, and it was nonstop, full on, to the point where, like, the last couple of days, most everybody was like, had enough, Kelly. I'm going to the beach. Leave me alone. But we had a ball.
Yeah.
We went rafting and stand-up paddleboarding and hiking. And
sounds like my idea of a retreat. I would love that.
Yeah. It was so much fun. And then I take a group every year to the Smoky Mountains. And that's just like lots of hiking and a little kayaking. But I have one in Texas. Pardon?
I was going to ask you, what's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you? I always think about bears. outdoor adventures. You know, I hear outdoor adventures like kayaking, and I'm like, okay, the bears might be close when you like are doing that kind of stuff. Do you do camping, or is it mostly lodge?
Okay, so with the retreats, we don't camp.
Okay.
We get really nice places. Really nice places. Our Texas retreat, I rented a 1,000-acre ranch. Like, it's beautiful. Because I think that, you know, sleep is important.
Yes.
I don't, you know.
Glamping. I'm all for glamping.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than glamping, it sounds like. Yes.
It's better than glamping.
Nice towels, but, nice sheets.
Exactly.
Yes.
Nice food, good food.
Yes.
I think good food's important.
Yeah.
And then, you know, lots of play.
Yeah. So. That's awesome. All right. Well, let's wrap up. I like to end with asking my guests, what does living a not your average life mean to you? And how do you exemplify that?
Oh, let's see. Well, okay. I have worked for myself my entire life. I had a job once for 6 months and I got fired, which was probably really good.
What job
was
that?
I had a business and I sold it. It was a former business that I sold. And part of the selling was that I was supposed to come to work for the company for a year and help them get going. But during that year, they made me, okay, literally, I was chief love officer of an online website. And there was no love between the owner and I because I kept telling him what he was doing wrong. And he finally just fired me.
You broke up.
We broke up.
But what made you? I mean, this is so interesting. I'm kind of going off the point here of like asking your question, and we'll get back to that. But like, why did you never have a job? That's really kind of unusual. Did you have parents that were like owned businesses?
My parents were normal. I had a fruit. This is probably what did it. I started a fruit stand when I was about 16. I don't know why I did this. But we made so much money that summer. It was crazy. And then I went to get your typical after summer job at Pizza Hut or something. And it was just awful. I probably lasted a day and I went, this is never going to happen again. And I just started working, figuring out ways to work for myself. And I have actually started and sold 4 businesses in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I love doing that.
So are you saying you're not normal? Because you said your parents were normal.
Yes, I'm not normal. See, I hope I'm not normal.
Not your average, you know, that's what like being a not your average life is a not normal life.
Not normal.
Abnormal.
I'm all about not normal.
Abnormal
right?
life. Yeah.
Yes, I'd be abnormal and adventure. Like I love adventure. Like my favorite thing in the world is whitewater kayaking. And so like anything I can do that kind of pushes me out of my comfort zone and has me learn new things, I love it. I just love it. I thrive on that.
That's cool. What is the best place to whitewater raft? Oh. Or I'm sorry, to kayak? Because you know, when you said that, I'm like, I've whitewater raft. So it's a little different than kayaking, you know?
It's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different. But
you're on the edge of this like raft.
Yeah. I mean, whitewater rafting is a big deal. It's fun. Yeah. We had a blast whitewater rafting in Costa Rica this last time.
But that can be dangerous. I mean, just like rapids and being in that kind of environment. I know can be pretty dangerous because I had the training when I went whitewater rafting, and they tell you, like, if you get stuck in one of those swirls, how to get
in
out.
A hole.
Yeah. So where's the best place?
Best place. Okay. I don't know the best place. I know my favorite place is in the Southeast Smoky Mountain area of the United States, because it is just so beautiful, and there's rivers and streams, and I mean, it. When you get out there on those rivers, I could take you into a whole another podcast here, sorry, but I'm just going to say, when you're out there on those rivers, you are truly like just you and your friends. I mean, that's it. I've traveled on rivers that was just three of us in Canada for days, and I've done it all over the place, and these rivers are just gorgeous. So, and it doesn't, for everyone listening, you don't have to do white water to be able to get out on these beautiful, gorgeous rivers that take you for days and days. And that would be like one of those things that being consistent with fitness allows you to do, because you really can paddle for 5 or 6 days and experience things that are just mind-bogglingly gorgeous.
Yeah. It makes me think, like, no technology, leave your iPhones at home. That sounds delightful. So yes, thank you so much for being here. I like your non-normal self. You're just amazing. So thanks for sharing your tips. I think people are going to have better feet as a result. So
good. Thank you so much. And good day to everybody. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.